Our scripture reading this morning is found in Joshua chapter 5. There we go. And we've been looking at this passage. It's just three verses, but we've been looking at it for 3 weeks. And we've been taking our time because this is an important aspect of who we are as God's children, how He prepares us, how He's got a wonderful plan and victory for us, but there's some important processes to go through when we're walking with the Lord. And so Joshua learned that, the people, Old Testament people of God, the Israelites learned that, and we're learning it again through this series. So Joshua chapter 5, verses 13, 14, and 15. Now when Joshua was near Jericho, he looked up and saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand. Joshua went up to him and asked, "Are you for us or for our enemies?" "Neither," he replied, "but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come." Then Joshua fell face down to the ground in reverence and asked him, "What message does my Lord have for his servant?" The commander of the Lord's army replied, "Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy." And Joshua did so. This is the word of God for the people of God. So, God's people had been enslaved, as you know, in Egypt for 400 years. And now they had been released by God's amazing power and led out of Egypt by Moses, across the Red Sea, escaped the pursuit of Pharaoh's army, and they entered into this wilderness land, all of the time on the way to the promised land that God had said He was going to prepare for them, a land flowing with milk and honey, a land where they could establish their presence as a holy nation, as God's own people, a land that they would be able to settle for generation after generation after generation, all worked out by God. But they had to wander around the wilderness for 40 years before they entered that promised land. But now they were on the move. That 40 years was up, and Joshua had taken the reins of leadership from Moses and was now leading the people out of the wilderness into the promised land. Now that journey required them to cross the Jordan River, and as they were crossing the Jordan River, they came upon this incredible fortress, this walled city of Jericho, and that stood in their way of entering the promised land. So now Joshua is he's not worried because God has promised him victory. God has personally assured him that the Israelites will enter the promised land, that Jericho will be overcome, but he's not exactly sure how that's going to happen. And so in this time frame, God is preparing Joshua for this victory that is already promised to the people of Israel. But there's some preparation going on. And this process includes Joshua doing three things: looking up, which we've learned about how important it is to kind of keep our eye on the ball. We've learned about how important it is to fix our eyes on Jesus, as Hebrews talks about. So Joshua does that. He falls down in reverence. He humbles himself. We've learned how important that is in the process, being willing to be broken for God, allowing that grace of God to flow through this clay pot that we are, these treasures and clay jars that we have. And now the final thing, the third thing, and that is he's called to take off his sandals. So why does Joshua do that? Why does he have to look up, fall down, take off his sandals? Why did the Israelites have to march around the city of Jericho in order for the walls to come tumbling down? Why do they have to wander in the wilderness for 40 years before they move into the promised land? See, all along, Joshua, God's people, were learning an important lesson through all of this. And that in our faith, in our trust relationship that we have with the God Almighty, that process and preparation are as important as outcome. God's going to take care of the outcome for us. We can bank on that. God's going to make good on his promises. We stand upon the promises of God, and that requires us to pay attention to what God is doing all along, and it's important to be faithful, obedient, to do things God's way. You have a promised land. You have a place where you'd like to be, a place where you'd like your marriage to be better, your home to be better, your relationship with someone special to be better, your health to be better, finances are better, your faith to be better. But you also have a Jericho, something blocking your way into your better life. So don't miss the good news here. God has victory in his plan for you. Just like the Bible says in Jeremiah 29:11, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. So God has those promises in store for you. Always to be with you, never to leave you or forsake you. He promises never to put more on your plate than you can handle. He promised to work for your good and bless you with abundant and eternal life. He has made you more than a conqueror. He has made you an overcomer. Romans chapter 8, verse 31, if God is for us, who could be against us? Who shall separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword or COVID-19? Well, that's not really in there, but you know, no, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. But in spite of who you are as an overcomer, as a conqueror, in spite of who God is as the one who helps us to win the victories in our life, in spite of all that, sometimes we feel like we hit a wall. Sometimes we feel like we've just run up against the Jericho, going nowhere, spinning our wheels, paralyzed by what we might fear is in our way. And at those points in our life, it's important to remember the lesson that we're learning from Joshua, to look up, to fix our eyes on Jesus, to trust him for wisdom and courage and strength, to fall down, to be humble before him. Remember that promise in James chapter 4, humble yourself before the Lord and he will lift you up. So it's important to surrender to God, allow God to accomplish his will in us and through us. And then thirdly, to take off your sandals. What message does my Lord have for his servant? Asked Joshua of this man that he saw standing there with a sword in his hand. What message does my Lord have? What instructions, what word comes from the Lord for me today? And Joshua was open to anything. Maybe some battle plan, maybe some strategy about how we're going to go about getting the Israelite army to win this victory. I'm open to anything. What do you want me to do, Lord? I'm ready to go. Joshua was just that kind of a leader, just surrendered to God, just ready to go for the Lord. What word does my Lord have for his servant today? And the commander of the Lord's army replied, take off your sandals. Wait, what? I thought we were going to plan some battle strategy here. What do you want me to do? Take off your sandals, Joshua. And I know that sounds odd, but it's not without precedent in Scripture. Do you remember another time that a leader was told, take off your sandals? Yeah, it was Moses there at a burning bush in the desert. This bush was being consumed by fire, but it wasn't being destroyed. It's an amazing sight. And it was out of that burning bush that he was going to receive, Moses was, the instructions from God about what to do next to help get his people out of Egypt. And it was at that point he heard, Moses, take off your sandals. See, taking off your sandals means you're in some holy place. You're about ready to hear some holy word. You're about ready to experience the holy presence of God. And so taking off your sandals in Scripture was a way in which you would prepare to experience God's holiness. And that's what the commander of the Lord's army replied, "Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy." For Joshua to take off his sandals meant he needed to be prepared for what he was about to experience. He needed to do what was necessary to be holy. For Joshua to take off his sandals meant he needed to do what was necessary to be holy. Being holy is part of our spiritual growth. Being holy is part of the preparation for being an overcomer, for knowing victory, for entering the promised land. The Bible says in Exodus chapter 19, God is speaking to his people, "You will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation." In Exodus 31, "This will be a sign between me and you for generations to come, so that you may know that I am the Lord who makes you holy." From day one, God, in his incredible wisdom and his ability and power, wants a relationship with his people, and he wants that people to be holy. He's holy. And so he wants us to be holy as well. You remember in Genesis chapter 1, when God is creating the universe, he creates human beings. And he creates them unlike anything else in the universe. He creates the stars, he creates the solar systems, planets, he creates the earth and all that's in it. And then he creates human beings. And only human beings in all of creation are created in the image of God. And God is holy. And so we are to be holy as well. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3 in the New Testament. "This is God's will for you, to be holy." So what basically is holiness? It's a God-likeness. We've talked about that just now. It's basically certain things you do in moral character and conduct that are Christ-like, that are God-like. And then certain things you don't do for the same reason. I remember various times during the year, not very many, but a handful of times during the year, we would travel from Chicago, where we lived, to visit grandparents in Detroit, where they lived. And, you know, 5 or 6 hour drive with 8 kids in the station wagon and heading to Detroit. But it was wonderful to be with our grandparents. And I remember sitting around the table and grandma bringing out just a wonderful spread, wonderful feast. Didn't have to be anything special, but oftentimes it was. It might have been Thanksgiving or Christmas. Sometimes it was just in the middle of summer and summer vacation. We went to visit grandma and grandpa, and she would still put out wonderful meals. And sometimes us kids would fight for the honor of sitting next to grandma or grandpa. My personal favorite was to sit next to grandpa, my dad's dad. I just really enjoyed being near him. The problem was, though, sitting next to grandpa, that he would make you do what was right at the dinner table. You know, of course you put the napkin in your lap. Of course you said the blessing before the meal. Of course you said please and thank you when you'd ask for things to be passed to you. But grandpa had another rule, and that was no elbows on the table. No. And if by some mistake you accidentally, inadvertently put your elbow on the table, sitting next to grandpa, you would soon find a fork sticking in your skin. He would take his fork and just poke our elbow just to remind us that that's not appropriate at the dinner table. Holiness is kind of like that. There are certain moral characteristics, certain moral conduct that's indicative of what holiness means. Some things you do, some things you don't do. And it's all in an effort of spiritual growth to be more Christ-like. This is God's will for you, to be holy. And so taking off your sandals, Joshua, because you're a holy person on holy ground, getting ready to experience the holy presence of God. Before the walls of Jericho could come tumbling down, Joshua needed to be holy before the Lord. He needed to consecrate, completely, thoroughly dedicate himself to God. And he grew up with that idea. Back when he was a boy, he heard Moses teaching the people of Israel those certain moral conduct, moral characteristics of what it meant to be godlike, what it meant to be holy people. Leviticus chapter 11, verse 44 is just one of those places where Moses said to the people, consecrate yourselves and be holy. Joshua grew up with that as a little boy. He felt Moses stick the fork in his elbow if it was on the table. He knew those things. And so Joshua heard those words, remembered them, grew up with them, and those words shaped his holy character. And now as the leader of the Israelites, getting them ready to move into the promised land, getting ready for them to overcome the Jericho that was standing in their way, the Lord was reminding Joshua, be holy, be holy. So how do we do that? What does it mean for us to take off our sandals? What does it mean for us? Well, it means a couple things. First of all, it means that we need to come clean before the Lord. You know, sandals collect everyday dirt, dust, and mud. They're kind of the connection between our bodies and the ground. And so in that connection, there's all kinds of dirt and dust and mud and all that. More than any other part of clothing that we would wear, our sandals, our shoes, boots, whatever, would get the dirtiest. And so symbolically, that stands for the dirt in our life spiritually. Our dirt does not mix with God's plan, with his character. Sinful man cannot connect with a holy God. And so we must confess our sins and receive the cleansing that God has for us. And we are made clean. We receive that cleansing. We are made holy by the redeeming work of Jesus Christ. What Christ has done on the cross for us is our cleansing. Chapter 1 of 1 John says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So in understanding what it means to take off our sandals and be holy, we understand this idea of coming clean before God, of being cleansed. It's kind of what Jesus was trying to get across in the disciples' minds on that Passover meal that they experienced together in the upper room. You know, the Thursday before Good Friday, the night before Jesus was crucified, he experienced the Passover meal with the disciples. And it's not exactly the same, but it's very close to being like our Thanksgiving, where we have a wonderful feast and festival, and it's remembrance of something. It's in remembrance of how our nation started and how grateful and thankful those pilgrims were in those days that were so difficult. So Passover is a high holy day for the Jewish persons. And so Jesus was celebrating that with his 12 closest friends in the upper room. And that night, not only did he take the cup and the bread and talk about his blood and body being what was necessary for the forgiveness of sins and for the new covenant, but in John's gospel, John tells us that he got up from the table about the middle of the meal, and he wrapped a towel around his waist, and he took a basin full of water, and he crawled around on the floor to where each of the disciples was sitting, and he washed their feet. foot washing wasn't that unusual of a habit in those days. Oftentimes it was done right when you would come into a person's house. And usually it was done by some servant, and someone would be there to wash the dirt off of your feet as you came into this person's house. And now Jesus was doing that. And of course, nobody really said anything. The disciples oftentimes were stunned by what Jesus would say or do. But Jesus came to Peter. And you know Peter, he was just spontaneous and out there and say just the first thing that would come into his mind. And so Jesus came to Peter. And Peter said, "No, Lord, you're not going to wash my feet." "No way." And Jesus said to Peter, "Listen, Peter, if I don't wash you, you have no part in me." And speaking of the general cleansing that Jesus offers in his amazing redeeming work for us. And then, of course, Peter piped right back. He said, "Well, okay, then don't just wash my feet. Wash me head to toe, Lord. Hands, head, every part of me. If you're going to wash me, just go ahead and wash it all." And this is all recorded in John chapter 13. And Jesus said to him, "Listen, Peter, if you've taken a bath, then, you know, you don't really need to be washed over your whole body. You only need your feet washed, because that's what gets dirty when you walk throughout the day." And what Jesus was saying at that point was there's the incredible ability that we have to go to Christ each and every day for our cleansing. We can be redeemed, saved, on our way to heaven because we have embraced what Christ has done for us on the cross. We've embraced him as our Savior, as our Lord, and we're cleansed. We're ready to go. But then day in and day out, as we walk through the dirt of this life, there are stains upon our soul that just need to be brought before the Lord again and again and again. Those things that we've done that God kind of pokes us in the elbow with the fork and say, "Hey, wait a minute, that's not exactly what it means to be holy." "Yes, Lord, you're right. I humble myself before you. I ask for your forgiveness. I allow you to wash my feet." So coming clean every day before the Lord is part of what it means to be holy. Back in the fall of 2017, part of my doctoral work was to do an immersion. Actually, we did three different immersions, three different years in different settings. 1 year we went to Atlanta, 1 year we went to Houston, but our final year we went to Seoul, South Korea. And just an amazing experience, one of the most powerful, memorable experiences I've ever had in my life. And one of the things that we did while we were in Seoul there for over a week was to visit in people's homes. Our host for the week was the Methodist Church, Kwan Lim, in Seoul, South Korea. It's the largest Methodist church in the world, well over 20,000 people. And the people that we met were also very gracious. And we'd do some home visits. And anytime we went into somebody's home, right at the door, there was a place for everybody to put their shoes. You took your shoes off as soon as you entered the house. Because oftentimes, people would sit on the floor. We had lunch at one place, and we ate on the floor. We sat on the floor, and there was a table there that was at that perfect height, and we just sat on the floor and ate there. Children played around on the floor. Oftentimes, people didn't have even beds. They slept on the floor. So being on the floor was a place that was important to the people of that culture, and taking your shoes off respected that. And one place we visited, we didn't have lunch there. We just had a nice visit for a while. We got ready to leave, and we all got our shoes back on, got out the door. Oh, wait, we forgot to take a picture. We'd love to take a picture with everybody. And so coming back in to take a picture, we had to take our shoes back off, go and get the picture made, and then go get our shoes back on and get ready to leave. So that's a custom that obviously as an American I wasn't used to, although when we go home, we usually walk around in our house without our shoes on, but for different reasons. But for that culture and that custom, it was important to be respectful, take your shoes off when you entered the home. It's kind of what Jesus is saying to the disciples. When you enter the kingdom of God, it's important to have your shoes off because you're entering a place of holiness, where God is holy, where you are holy, and growth in holiness is what is expected. So coming clean is part of what taking the shoes off to Joshua meant and what it means to us today. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 7, God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life. And that's the second aspect of what holiness means. It's not only coming clean before God, but it's staying clean. It's living clean. It's a day in, day out, constant awareness of being before a holy God and living a holy life. We're called to be holy every day, not just Sundays for an hour. God is everywhere all the time. He is with us 24/7, 365, this year 366. You know, His Holy Spirit dwells within us. We're never away from the presence of God. His presence is always with us through His Holy Spirit. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy. Doesn't matter if it's in the sanctuary at North Bend Church or in your living room or in Kroger or in Walmart, where you're standing is holy because the Holy Spirit is present with you. And so that awareness of our everyday holiness is important. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20, the Bible says, "Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you've received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies." In other words, try to avoid the mud. Try to avoid the dirt. Life is sacred, and God's presence within us, His Spirit, is holy, and to honor that, to be respectful of that, we take off our sandals each and every day. Joshua did so. That's actually the last phrase of this chapter, the last phrase of these three verses that we've been looking at for 3 weeks. Joshua did so. He realized how important it was to be obedient, how important it was to be not only keep his eyes on God, not only be humble before Him, but to be obedient, and not only in the moment, but every moment. There's a great verse in Romans chapter 12, which talks about this very thing. It sums it up. If you want to remember this kind of message, this series about Joshua and the walls of Jericho, Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 is a good summary of all that we've been talking about. "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters," Paul is writing to the Christians in Rome, "in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed." That's what holiness is about, the transformation of being more Christ-like, more God-like in our life, being holy. When I was growing up as a child, Mom and Dad would make sure we understood how important church was, and we would, as a family, attend church. Maybe not every Sunday, but a lot of Sundays. And the hardest part about that for me as a youngster growing up was having to be dressed in my Sunday best, having to wear a nice shirt, having to wear a tie, having to wear a suit coat, having to wear new shoes. That was the hardest part of church on Sunday mornings, having to be dressed in our Sunday best. And then once we're dressed, staying clean, not getting dirty. It's for an 8, 9, 10, 11, 12-year-old boy, having to wait around for a while his siblings get ready and we all get ready to load up the car and head off to church, it's hard not to mess things up. And so that was one of the memories I have as in my childhood. And that's somewhat typical of our spiritual demeanor when we think about having to be morally true in our character and our conduct, to be Christ-like. It just sometimes feels stiff and hard to do. We can't always do it well. It's hard not to get dirty. You know, we're dressed up in our holiness, and yet every once in a while we're going to, you know, scuff up our shoes, or we're going to, get some stains on our knees, or, you know, there's something going to happen that's not just going to be holy. And it's hard for us because we know we walk around with dirty feet, so to speak, as holy persons. As tough as that was as a youngster to be dressed up in my Sunday best, coming home after church and taking off the suit coat, the tie, the new shoes, and putting on my comfortable play clothes was the best. I couldn't wait on the drive home after church to get home and be able to take off my Sunday clothes and put on the comfortable clothes, put on my play clothes, and get ready just to be me again, be a kid and play. That was the best. And someday, we're going to be there, because someday we're going to find ourselves in heaven, and we're going to be dressed in complete holiness and righteousness, and the Bible calls it glory, and it's going to be so wonderful and comfortable. It's going to be exactly what God wants to outfit us in, and it's going to be freedom and playtime forever and ever for all of eternity. We're not there yet. We're still in our Sunday best here, and still feel sometimes stiff for us to live holy lives. It sometimes feels uncomfortable, but then when we're there, it's going to be wonderful, free and complete and whole, dressed in the glory of our Lord and Savior in all holiness and fullness of life. Here it's tough. There it'll be perfect and wonderful. Look up. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. Fall down. Reverence, humbleness before the Lord. And take off your sandals. Be holy. Get it? Good. Let's pray together. Oh God, we thank you once again for the reminder of this incredible journey that we're on, a journey that you've taken us by the hand and allowed us to experience your love and grace here in this life, and how wonderful that is. And at the same time, whispering in our ears to grow strong, to be like Jesus, to be holy in all that we do, in all that we say. And so, Lord, we first acknowledge that we sometimes have dirty feet, and we need to come before you for cleansing, for forgiveness of our sins, and and allow you to again wash over us with your mercy and grace. And help us then, filled with your Spirit, to know what to do, what to say, how to relate to people in love. Help us to be faithful and obedient. This is an incredible process. This idea of maturing in Christ. And we know that hand in hand with you, we will find our way through every day. Until one day, when we are hand in hand with you in glory, all of those dusty roads, all of those valleys that we've gone through on earth will be forgotten, and we will be simply walking the streets of gold in glory with you. That's the hope you've put in our heart, and may it help us through each and every day. That's our prayer today in Jesus' name. Amen.